at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I walked into what had to have been one of the greatest bakery smells of all time. And I started getting my stuff together, and then Sarah showed up at 7:30, a little bit before, and then the other worship team members showed up before, and Courtney and Graham were busy getting their stuff ready downstairs. And then as all the different parts and pieces began to arrive for service, it just continually dawns on me, blesses my life to look across all the people that are serving in significant ways to create a vibrant experience for all of us to worship the Lord here. And then as we just wait for people to arrive, I love kind of waiting and seeing who's going to be here, some of our regulars, and kind of like looking out and realizing that some of you sit in the same places and how that blesses my life, that I know that you're here. And I love watching people who show up late and are trying to find a spot, and they get stuck in the front and they don't really want to be in the front, but they're there. And I love seeing who's new, the person that I don't know, the one who I've never seen before, and why on this day did they decide to come here, and what God's doing in their life to bring them here. I love seeing students come from Holland College and UPI. I love seeing nationalities come from all over the world to Charlottetown and to here. And it's just a real blessing to be a part of this church family, and I want to thank you for that. It's just a rich time together as we come to celebrate the Lord, and it's just always a joy to see you and do this together on a weekly basis. So with that, would you just kind of quiet your heart and mind as we pray together as we move into this last conversation of Guard Your Heart. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we engage your words regularly, whether it be on a Sunday morning or in our own private life. And we want to be a people that do both of those things really, really well. That we are so enamored with who you are in this life that you have invited us into, that we would engage your scriptures on a daily basis, a weekly basis in our lives, that we might read passages and phrases and ideas that are so foreign to us who think in very small ways, that we would begin to get these glimpses of your love for us and how you function in your world, how you have set in motion all things, and how you are bringing all things to a glorious end where you win, where you will make all things new again, which we see beginning in the resurrection of your Son. We thank you for this amazing invitation to follow you, to re-enter a relationship with you that we lost in the garden, where you forgive sin, you restore life, you make us whole, where when we follow and by faith trust you, you do the great work of redeeming relationships that we have in our life, that we get to see you bless and move in ways that we would just forever miss out on. God, this morning as we finish up this conversation of guarding our heart, I pray that we would take close attention to your words on this particular theme that really ties into the glorious mandate and mission over our lives as your followers. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. I ask you to bless this time in your name. Amen. Over the past 7 weeks, we've been working through a series called Guard Your Heart, and we've been using this as our theme verse from Proverbs chapter 4, where it reads, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And my hope has been that as we have kind of worked through that passage of Scripture, that you would be blessed / tormented by the fact that everything you do comes from your heart. That it's not you on a bad day. This is just you that you've learned to hide. That those thoughts that you have, that's from your heart. That your actions that you do come from your heart. That everything that you do comes from this place. This has been my goal, my heart for you, my prayer for you. And we began several weeks ago looking at the whole idea and reality of us having a ruined heart, and that we can't even begin to guard something that's already a mess, that's already broken, that's already gone, so to speak. And the good work and the right work that we need to do on the front end is to acknowledge this to be true of all of us, that there's something fundamentally wrong with what it is to be a human, and that is connected to our heart, and that we ask God for a new one. And he does the great work of giving a new one that is fueled by his Spirit. The heart of stone is removed and given with a heart of flesh that's fueled by the very Spirit of God. And we then move into the great and good work of redeeming our thoughts, our thinking, many of us, a lot of us in this room, there are seasons in our life where our heart is compelled to act because it has been held captive by wrong thinking. And our minds need to be transformed and been given over to the very ideas of God himself from his word that allows us to shape how we think of who he is, this world that we are a part of, and our place in it. And until we begin that work, we will always be filled with all kinds of different levels of anxiety and fear and worry, and that just robs us of so many things. We talked about the whole need to have our feelings and our emotions redeemed. Everyone in this room, myself included, we sometimes act at the whim of whatever we're feeling on that particular day or that particular night. And when we foolishly act on everything we feel, it invites a harm into our life that is unbelievably painful. And to displace feelings that are wrong and harmful, we have to go back to the work of the mind and allow these things to shape and form us in moments where we might feel certain things that are not at all true and right. And to displace wrong feelings, it's grounded in the right thinking of who God is, who I am in relationship to him, and this world that he is working through all things out for his goodness and glory. We spent some time a few weeks ago working through the conversation of our bodies, that even our physical bodies are prone and bent towards evil and destruction, where we have, through the duration of our life, offered up body parts to different things that, although we might think they feel good in the moment, bring a harm and suffering into our life, that for the Christ follower, we do the great work of offering our bodies to the Lord for his glory, for his praise, as we relearn and train how our physical bodies actually do not belong to us. It is a great lie that we have all bought and believe hook, line, and sinker that brings us harm on every level. My body is not my own. It belongs to the Lord, and I offer it up to him every single day. And then last week, we spent some time talking through the work and need to transform our social relationships, our earthly relationships. We grow up in a world where we are trained to either fight or flight all of the relationships that we're in. And the moment we experience hostility, the moment we feel a brokenness entering in, we will either respond with violence to the one who is doing this to us, or we will run away and isolate ourselves from said person. As a Christ follower, we redo how we do earthly relationships. Because God, while I am an enemy towards him, he loves, he dies for, he redeems and restores, and puts me in a new environment where I then now learn how to love others the way I have been loved by God while I have been, in fact, an enemy towards him. And now this morning, we conclude this series by really talking about what does this look like when we guard our hearts well. Before we do, there are two cautionary words I want to begin with. The first one is this. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we are prone to making conversations of faith into grocery lists. Or to use a biblical framework, we love to find out what the laws are. And when we work through the ideas of heart and thoughts and emotions and body, blah, 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 instantly we're like, put that on a list and go through it. New heart, check. New thinking, check. New emotions, check. And when we do that, you are creating a system by which you will forever fail. We as people will always fail under the law. We will always fail when we function in a position of faith through a lens of law and obedience to a law. We will forever fail at that. So if you've left here each morning over the last 7 weeks and you're like, all right, new heart, new mind, new mind, new mind, check, 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 check. You will die under the weight of that by Wednesday. Please do not do what people do for the last 4,000 years when it comes to issues of faith and following God. Make this into law. Because when you do, you are setting up a system by which you will forever self-sabotage any pursuit of Christ by faith. The second one is this. The second word of caution is we live in a world, particularly in the West, where we are trained to think that this type of guarding our heart, that this type of spiritual formation will take place by Friday. Everything we do in our life works against the ideas of patience and process. Everything we do. Give you an example of how we're trained to think that we're so good that we should get this by Friday. If you go to McDonald's through the drive-thru, we believe the commercials that this is fast food. And then you go to the window, and there's a 16-year-old guy or girl that has to tell you, can you wait a few minutes? And their anxiety grows because they don't want the adult 40-year-old to take a strip off them because I might have to wait for 3 minutes for my fries. Or heaven forbid, my chicken burger that takes a little bit longer to cook. Because if I worked at McDonald's, I would serve up that burger not cooked and say, there. God bless you. That's why it's good that I don't work at McDonald's. Amazon Prime. This trains us to think that it's instantaneous. That we pay $80 a year, whatever the membership fee is, and that my needs are so important that I should get it within 2 days. I remember being in upstate Vermont last fall and my oldest daughter needing a new bathing suit. So we got on Amazon, we ordered the suit. We're part of the Prime membership because we're that good. They shipped it and like within 2 days, you'll have her suit. Well, 2.5 days, the suit finally arrived. And I went to the front desk to pick it up. And I remember walking away from the desk thinking, it is ridiculous that I live in a world where I can place an order on Amazon and a bathing suit from Southern California is shipped across the country, delivered to the front desk of my hotel so that my daughter can go swimming in a suit that fits her within 2 days. It is remarkable. My grandfather would be like, you can do what? Like, it would blow his mind. He'd be like, we just swam in jeans. Like, there was no sense of this. Like, everything comes to us instantly when we want it. And here's the awful confession. I remember walking away from the front desk, and I'm like, could have been here sooner. Like, it was awful. Awful. Our cell phones train us in that everything is instantaneous. We text someone. If they don't respond within, like, 3 to 5 minutes, are they all right? Are they mad at me? Like, all of these thoughts fill our... Did they get it? And then we begin harassing people through our cell phone. We begin... It just trains us that we live in a world where everything is instant. The word of caution to us in this is if we have this mindset as it relates to issues of faith and being formed into the very image and person of Jesus Christ, you will walk away from this process if you think this is done by Friday of this week. You will walk away, and worse, you will believe the ultimate lie that somehow Jesus doesn't work for you. And because we're so quick to give our opinion about the quality of said product, we would one star this on TripAdvisor, like, Jesus doesn't work for me. Warning, like, don't go there. Like, it is ridiculous how we believe this lie that somehow, in a matter of 5 days, we are going to get this right because we've been trained to think that this is going to happen instantly because everything in our life is instant. Please pay attention to these words of caution. Because if we create this to be a law, we will walk away. It will fail. We will fail. If we create this sense of it has to be done by Friday, then somehow Jesus and the Holy Spirit at work in my life doesn't work for me. It might work for someone else, but not for me. Here's what I need you to remember this morning. And this is just such a beautiful grounding anchor in this conversation. We'll put it on the screen. Philippians 1:6. He, talking of God, he, Jesus, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who started this work in you, the one that brought you to the place to say, your heart's ruined and you need a new one, the one who makes that known to you is going to be faithful to you all the way to the end when he returns, either that or you die. He will be faithful and bring this work to completion in you. If this doesn't happen, it's not because Jesus doesn't work. It's not because he isn't faithful. It's not because he doesn't do this thing anymore. Jesus, by his Spirit in my life, is faithful. And he will walk with me. He will speak into my life. And he'll be about this work until the day that I die or he returns. And nothing that I can do, and some of you need to hear this more than others this morning, nothing that you can do will stop his unfaithfulness toward you. Nothing that you can do will stop his pursuit of you. You might walk away from him. And that's different. That's different. You might say, I'm done. You might give up. But there's nothing that you can do that's going to stop him from his faithfulness, bringing this work to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. He loves me. This work that he started in me, if I lean into him, he will be faithful to the very end. So with this in mind, with our hearts and eyes fixed on Jesus, with the long haul in mind, most of us cannot get our heads around, like I'm 40, almost 41, that I'm thinking of when I'm 85, that I want this to be a long haul conversation, not till Friday. Because here's why. I'm going to live till I'm 85, hopefully-ish. Not till Friday. I want to be about this work through the duration of my life, because life is long, and it is difficult, and it is hard, and it serves up surprises, it serves up curveballs, and it serves up beautiful blessings. I want to be about this through the duration of my life. Not till my kids graduate from high school, and then I can do my own thing. Not till I'm through university in those formative years. Not through junior high. I want this to be through the duration of my life, because it matters for my whole life to the very end. And with this in mind, I want to be about the good work of guarding my heart. I want you to be about the work of guarding your heart, where I readily acknowledge that my heart can't be trusted, that I'd ask God for a new one, that his understanding of life would shape my understanding of life. Where Jesus in Luke 9 says that I'm to daily deny myself, that I'm to daily deny my way of thinking, my way of doing, my way of acting, because chances are it's not at all God-honoring or life-helpful. That I would deny my initial urge, figure out what is the response given where I am in life. And that I would daily deny myself through the duration of my whole life. That I would do the good work of transforming my mind, where I would continually change out my way of thinking for his way of thinking through the duration of my whole life. That I would do the great work of transforming our emotions, where I do not want to be ruled by how I feel in the moment. That person has no hope, no future, no life, except being pushed around by however they feel in the moment. That because of God's grace in my life, that I actually rule over my emotions, that I don't find myself in places because of how I feel, that I'm led down garden paths that bring death to me and everyone who knows me. And that I would do this over the duration of my entire life, where I am learning to offer up my body every day for the glory of God through the duration of my whole life, not till Friday. A simple athlete understands this. All through high school, university, the drills that are just always doing these drills, because it takes time to develop new memory, new muscle, new ways of responding in situations. That I would be about this, offering my body over the long haul of my life for the glory of God. That I would learn through the duration of my life how to do earthly relationships well. Where I would break the cycle, this vicious cycle of fight or flight from people who show hostility to me, to when I don't get my own way, to how I gossip or harm people through my words, that I would break this vicious cycle and learn how to do life differently. That where out of this deep sense of I was a problem, I was an enemy before God, and he loved and pursued me, therefore, if I'm going to follow him, this is how I interact with others through this same lens. And I do this over the duration of my life. And if I do this well, I want to read to you some passages of how God describes said person. You and I this morning. We'll put these on the screen. First one is from Thessalonians 5:5. You are children of the light and children of the day. Philippians 2:15. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And we listen to this. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Matthew 5, you are salt of the earth. You are light of the world. 1 Peter 2, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. I love these titles that as a son of God, as a daughter of God, as I pursue Him by faith, these are the terms that God Himself speaks over my life as this great reminder of this is who you are. You are a star that shines brilliantly amongst the warped and crooked generation. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are. This is who you are. To say it another way, for those of you that love theology and biblical scholarship, it's the big fancy term called sanctification. Sanctification is simply the transformational process of becoming what God has declared I already am. Becoming that which God has already declared me to be. This language is all throughout the New Testament. It might read like this in Romans 8, being conformed to the image of His Son. It's the same thing what we're talking about. Sanctification, guard our heart, transformation. It's all the same thing, just a different language. It might read, walk in a manner worthy of the life that you've been called into, as Paul writes in Ephesians 4. It might read, taking off the old self and putting on the new self, which Paul writes in Colossians 3. It's all the same thing. We've taken 8 weeks to walk through all the nuances of what this process of sanctification, transformation deals with and looks like. To give you some very, hopefully, clear examples of being called something that then I am transformed into this thing that I am called, we'll put this image on the screen. This is Luke Skywalker, who is the great Jedi. Like, you cannot watch the first real movie. The second movies were awful. The first real movie, where we know early that this is the one that everyone's talking about. And over the movies, we see Luke Skywalker become that which he is called, the great Jedi. This is Voldemort in the first movie of what feels like 27. Every other wizard understands Voldemort to be the great evil dark wizard. And over the movies, we see him become that which he is already called and known for in the first movie. This is Strider or Aragorn in Lord of the Rings, the ranger from the north. There's a scene, particularly as you watch it, now that I've watched it a bunch of times, a scene where Strider's sitting in the corner and they're like, well, there is this one. And it pans to him in a dark, rainy night in this weird village where, like, there's a king that we spoke of. It's this guy. And we see him become the king over the three movies. All of these characters have been declared something. And through time, we watch them become that which they are declared early in the storyline. As sons and daughters of God, we have been declared to be salt, light, royal, God's possession, stars that shine. And now by faith, we, with help from the Holy Spirit, we do the good work of becoming that which we have been called. And if you are a Christ follower that's older than me, and I'm 40, I want to say something into your life that might feel difficult. I grew up in a world where the testimony of older Christians was that of, I'm just a forgiven sinner. I'm just a forgiven sinner. So many Christ followers who are older than me will say of themselves, I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's true. That's true. But you know what is more true? That you use it as a crutch to just keep on doing the sin that you like to do. That's all it is. And the former pastor just said, yeah. Said it again. It is frustrating that we reduce this life in Christ to be, I'm just a forgiven sinner. You know what title that I'm never called in Scripture? Just a forgiven sinner. I'm called salt and light and stars and beautiful titles that are far more than just being a forgiven sinner of God's grace. That's true, but what is greater and better are these titles that God has declared over my life that I run after now. The issue is, we just like our sin. And think that formation is unfolding in our life when I just keep doing the same thing I've always done for 80 years. We are more than this. We are more than simply being a forgiven sinner. You are a son of the living God. You are a daughter of the King. You're joint heirs with Christ. He is your elder brother. You're part of this family, a royal priesthood, a holy nation that God has called, that He has chosen, that He has set apart for His purpose, for His glory. And this is who we are, not just a forgiven sinner. Did you just light on sinning? We are more than this. And for those who lean in by faith, and we do this well, this is awesome. This is where this gets really exciting for me, and hopefully you'll feel this in you. When I allow Christ via the Spirit to do this work in my life as I respond to His words of instruction, by default, you are simply a witness to the power of God in human life. And the idea of I do my Christian witnessing on Wednesday night falls by the wayside, because this is who I am, a witness to God's glory, rather than the verb, let's go witness for God. No. My life is a witness of God's power, how He can take a ridiculous punk kid and turn him into someone that's spectacular. That He can take your life, a punk kid, and turn it into something that's spectacular. And it's a witness just in and of itself that God has taken a mess and has turned it into a star that shines in the universe. That it turned it into salt and light in a warped and crooked generation. That by my life, it is a glorious billboard of God's power to say, oh my land, He was this, and now He's this. This is amazing. One day, as a witness of God's power, as we live for the glory of Jesus' name, as we engage in purposeful relationships, as we speak of Christ and His power in our life as naturally as we would about the devastating hockey realities last night for Montreal Canadiens, as that we would speak in as natural as of Christ as we do in every other aspect of life, that we would speak of it in this kind of natural language, as we reveal through our thoughts that we think differently of this life than the rest of the world, because our minds have been transformed to take on the very mind of God. That we live where we are in control of our emotions. And that our friends that we have built purposeful relationships see that as a dad or as a mom or as a friend, we don't let those emotions rule the day. That people see that there is a control over our physical body, that it's offered up in different behaviors, in different activities, that our earthly relationships are distinctly different from how other people function in earthly relationships. As we do these things in life with people who do not know the Lord, we are a witness to them of God's power and His goodness in my life. And they will see and they will hear, because it's all purposeful. And there's coming a moment, and you should be praying for this moment, where Peter says it this way. I love this. Be prepared. 1 Peter 3:15. To give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And listen to me. If no one's asking you, you're doing it wrong. If you've lived your life 40, 50, 60 years in Christ, and not one person has asked you about the hope that you have within you, you're advertising for something else. Because they see that whatever it is that you claim to believe isn't really shaping your life. And as we do this, we should be inviting conversations just because of how we live, because it will be distinctly different. Last week, I was down at Acadia University, and I was listening to Joel Theisen speak about evangelism. Everybody's favorite topic. And that's curious. He talked about how he and his wife just signed up for a ball hockey league to engage with people who do not know the Lord. Curious hearing stories of how, through purposeful relationships, having people into their home, speaking of Christ as though it's natural and normal, not some weird cult and how that has led to conversation upon conversation upon conversation. Yes and amen to life and all the things that we find ourselves doing. But when you sign your kid up for swimming lessons, you go to the pool, not so you can watch your kid learn to swim, but so you can be in an environment where you get to know people. And by your witness of God's power in your life and that person in your life, it invites conversation that points them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes and amen to hockey, but please, oh my land, like, do not believe the foolishness that it's about your retirement fund. Sit in a rink for hours with people and you never once share the gospel with them through your words. That we would do all the things that we do. We do this too. That we go through life hiding the fact that we are a follower of Christ. I was watching this weird interview, getting ready for this morning, looking for something else to add to the service. And I'm watching Penn and Teller, those two characters. And he says, how much do you not have to love someone to not tell them about who Jesus is if you believe Jesus is this guy? How much do you have to hate that person to not share with them in one way or another who he is if you think he's this guy? We are more excited about a great beach that we found and sharing with our friends the beach location. We're more secretive about where we go fishing and bringing like the select few into the fishing hole that promises a great haul. We do not speak of Christ through our life in the way that we ought to. And listen, if we are going to be a follower of Christ, and this just pushes into the deepest level of this conversation, the reason why I do this is because I believe that God is the creator of all things. I believe that he is trying to rescue his world. I believe he has a heart and a love and affection for every single person on the planet. And he has done all that he can do to offer salvation and redemption to all men and women. I believe all that to be true. And I believe the key is his son. And as a follower of Christ, I understand that I'm to go into the world and declare this good news to other people that they might know and walk with the Lord. That same charge of go and make fishers of men, well, I'm in that team. I am a part of the fishing group. I am not allowed, there is no version of Christian faith to simply, yes, I want Christ, but all I want is simply the benefits that he brings for my life, and it doesn't move over into, and I want to tell others about these benefits, both now and what is to come at my death or his return. Will we be about the work of guarding our heart? Will we be about the work of transformation? Because if the answer is yes, then we begin praying for, looking for moments where people might say, my soul, I knew them when they were 12, 18, 25, and now at 40, they're not at all the person that I knew. What happened to them? Or they might not have to know us over the long haul, but we a brand new friend. Through the course of life, trust me, things come our way that we have amazing opportunities to just quietly speak of who Christ is. Quietly offer up the goodness of God in our life as a testimony for people who are desperately looking for how to do life. Do you go into the workplace tomorrow or do you go into your family today? Whatever it is that we do, do we go into these spaces with the mindset of, God, please, through my life, be a witness for your glorious name that someone might ask me, hey, why are you this way? Why are you different? And if we have done the work of pursuing Christ by faith, guarding our hearts, do you know what you actually have to offer them? You have the ability to say, I knew that I had a ruined heart, and I came to grips with that. And I acknowledged that and asked God for a new one, and he gave me a new one. And then I began to realize that his ways of thinking are far better than mine. And it changed my entire life. And I began to realize that my emotions don't have to rule over me. and that I understand deeply who I am, and I've been freed of all kinds of anxiety and worry and fear. My body now is in different spaces from where it used to be, where I'm quick to go here, but now I'm quick to go here because this place brings life, this place brings death. That my relationships that I'm a part of began to be transformed in a way that was profoundly amazing. And you can walk with your family and friends through this process as they sign up to be a follower of Christ. This is the beautiful work of the gospel. That we do this on our own so that when these moments come, we can actually describe very, very keenly how God has transformed our life. Because I know that everyone in this room, there's someone in your life that you pray for, that you long that they might come to know, that this is never far from your thoughts. For the glory of God, for the sake of the lost, be about the great work of transformation so that you might have moments where someone can say, can you explain to me the hope that is in you? And you say, yeah. Let's go to Tim's and we'll have a chat. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, let us be about the great work fueled by the Holy Spirit in us to become that which we have been called. Stars that shine in the universe. Salt and life in a warped and crooked generation. For the glory of your name, for the pursuit of you, for the expansion of your kingdom, for the rescue of men and women who are lost. May we be a witness by default because we just declare there's a God who's powerful and he's changed our life completely. It doesn't happen by Friday. It doesn't happen by a week from now. But it's through this duration of our entire life. May we be a people that continually grow in this reality, with this deep underlying reality of the one who began this work in me will be faithful to complete it. In your beautiful name we pray.